On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Tuesday, the 20th of May, 2025 edition of On the Radar News Bulletin. Now, as the new week gains momentum, we bring you the latest stories making headlines across the nation and beyond, keeping you informed, engaged, and well ahead of the curve. Now, from developments in the business and political sphere to technology, education, health, and community impact, On the Radar is your go-to source for reliable news, insightful analysis, and exclusive interviews. So thank you for choosing Eagle FM. Remember, you can stay connected via our Eagle FM mobile app, our website, and our radio frequencies across the country. So be sure to subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp channel for up-to-the-minute alerts. And as always, would love to hear from you. Join the conversation by calling in studio on 083-288-401. Stay tuned. There's plenty to unpack on today's show. Now let's get started with today's news bulletin. The Development Bank of Namibia, DBN, hosted its Good Business and Innovation Awards last evening, honoring entrepreneurs who are making a meaningful contribution to Namibia's economy. Elizabeth Kambode of Lee's Wise Investment walked away with the prestigious award of 2024 Innovation Award for her product, Mahango Pasta, earning a prize of $400,000. In the SME category, Blue Crane Safaris Namibia CC was recognized for its outstanding service and commitment to sustainable tourism, receiving $150,000. Meanwhile, OLC Arandas Solar Energy Corporation Pty Ltd claimed top honors in the large enterprise category, securing a prize of $750,000. Now, speaking at the event, Minister of Finance and enterprise, pardon me on that, $750,000. It's not that figure. Now, speaking at the event, Minister of Finance and Enterprise Minister of Finance and Enterprise, Erica Shafuda, highlighted the Development Bank's impact, stating that the Development Bank has invested over $21 billion into our economy. Now, through this investment, the bank has contributed to the creation of more than 76,000 jobs, with a strong focus on supporting SMEs, that is small, medium enterprises, as well as youth and women-led businesses. The event celebrated innovation, sustainability, and inclusive economic growth, reflecting the Development Bank's Namibia's ongoing commitment to empowering Namibian entrepreneurs. Let's now take a listen to what the minister had to say at the event.
It is really a privilege for me to join all of you at this historic event where we are celebrating once again Good Business and Innovation Awards, an initiative by the bank that started some years back, and it has really graduated from year to year. And this one is the unique one. Just wait. What is in store is great. And we can't wait to hear more about that. I was trying to put my speech together, but sometimes I do not have words to express my appreciation to those ones who organize events like this one. But I want to say to you all that when Menetumbo got into power and she has appointed all of us on your behalf, she said, "This country is faced with triple burden, the burden of poverty, the burden of inequalities, the burden of unemployment, specifically youth unemployment, that currently stands at 44.4%. And then she said, "Go out there and make it happen, because we need to face these challenges heads on." Now, with institutions like the Development Bank of Namibia, and that is why I pause, because I want to ask all of you to give a round of applause to the Development Bank of Namibia, because that is one such institution that I rely on, plus others, of course, to help me to come up with the strategies that will then indeed respond to the mandate that I was given by the president of this country on behalf of her executive and the Namibian people. We are marking a milestone, 2 decades of DBN's Good Business and Innovation Awards, a testament to how the Namibian entrepreneurship has come and DBN has continued to live up to its mandate as a development finance institution. Together with its partners, the bank, as the chairperson or the deputy chairperson has already indicated, it has invested over 21 billion Namibian dollars in our economy. And with that, it was able to create more than 76,000 jobs. That's very, very great. Further to that, the highlights goes to the investment on SME projects and youth, as well as women-led businesses. That then shows the commitment and the determination by the bank to empower in an inclusive manner and integral manner in ensuring that all these categories contribute to economic development. Ladies and gentlemen, winners of these awards that we are going to witness today, they are there to entice other businesses to continue helping Namibia and to build and transform this our economy. Like the deputy chairperson had said, including the acting CEO, we are doing that in a fashion manner. That is to say, one job at a time, one new shareholder at a time. That is the slogan of those ones who work for the Development Bank of Namibia. Give them a round of applause. In other words, this slogan means the success of these businesses ripples outward, instilling dignity in individuals and confidence in communities. Therefore, tonight, we are going to salute those who have attained those achievements. Innovations has never been more important for Namibia's future. In a fast-changing world, we must encourage new ideas and technologies. That is why we are here, to observe and to witness those ones who have then taken up the challenge of innovating and also doing better and perform better in their businesses. That is very, very good, right? So the bank recognizes, as one of its executives said, that innovation is not luxury. And I'm repeating this because it was already said by the chairperson, deputy chairperson of the board. He indicated that it is an absolute necessity for economic resilience and sustainability. I also share that view. As a government, we are committed to a policy environment that fosters innovation, from investing in ICT infrastructure to supporting research and development in areas like green hydrogen, agro-processing, and digital services. We see many opportunities for Namibia to leap forward, but it will also require courage and creativity from entrepreneurs and strong support from institutions like the Development Bank of Namibia. At the same time, innovations must go hand in hand with inclusive development. Economic growth is not meaningful unless it benefits all Namibians. And I repeat this one, unless it benefits all Namibians, especially those in rural areas or rural settings. That's why I applaud Development Bank of Namibia, that is, its recent emphasis on women and youth entrepreneurs. When DBN lends to a young business, a woman-led cooperative is not only creating jobs, but also driving social transformation. These efforts align with our national priorities. The finalists that we are going to see today, they represent others, of course, and they are really showing the diversity of our economy. By supporting them, DBN is reinforcing Namibia's long-term plan for broad-based inclusive growth. In conclusion, and before I really conclude, I also want to take this opportunity to thank the development partners, the financiers, and all other partners of Development Bank of Namibia, because we believe that together we create synergy that then lead to greater impact. And that is why Development Bank continues to forge and to strengthen partnerships. Now I will conclude, because you normally say these ones were technocrats, now they have also become politicians. So this evening, renew our shared optimism. The future of Namibia's economy is bright because of people like you, the innovators, the investors, the workers, the leaders, who believe in this beautiful country, the land of the brave. Together, we will pursue economic growth that is responsible, inclusive, and full of innovations. Congratulations to all finalists and winners. You are our ambassadors of good business. May your successes inspire many others. Let us move forward in unity and hope, confident that through development and innovation, we will achieve prosperity that is for all. Once again, thank you so much.
My colleague Sean Jordan Wisab interviewed attendees of the Development Bank of Namibia's Good Business and Innovation Awards, and this is what they had to say. And also a correction earlier on the prices that we walked away with. The OLC Arandas Solar Energy Corporation, PTY LTD, claimed top in the large enterprise category, securing a price of 250,000 Namibian dollars.
All right. So first of all, I just wanted to reiterate again, you are aware that you're being recorded and you've given your consent.
Yes.
All right. So could you just introduce yourself just quickly?
My name is Derek Jacobs from Blueprint Safaris. I'm the MD for, I've been running the company for 15 years. And I've just attended the DBN Awards night, evening. And I'm so honored to have won the SME Award. And
So first of all, congratulations. I'm so proud of you, proud of everything you've done. So first of all, I wanted to ask, give us a little background about the journey. What's the journey been like from now during COVID to this moment right here?
Okay, the journey is actually quite long, but I will put it into like, ever since I was a little kid, I'm a son of Rehoboth. So ever since I was a kid, I always saw the tourism tour buses come through Rehoboth.
Yeah.
So I already knew that I wanted to work in tourism. So when I finished school, yeah, I started, became a guide.
Yeah.
And then I started working my way up in guiding and car rental companies. And then later I decided, 15 years ago, I decided, no, let me start my own business.
Yeah.
And that's why I started Blue Crane Safari. So it was not easy. And then we started, after 5 years, the business ran very good. And then COVID came.
Yeah.
And then we were like thinking, what now? But luckily we were running a good company before COVID.
Yeah.
And that's where the bank decided to check our figures, and then they assisted us with cash flow. And then now we are running back. We recovered actually 2023, we recovered fully. And so I'm thankful that we are running and our company have grown. We are now 25 people working. So my dream is to educate more people to work in tourism, because it's an excellent industry to work in.
So what does a day-to-day in the life of a small and medium enterprise business owner look like for you?
Working, going to work Monday to Friday, even on the weekends, making sure everything is, because I have the experience from the ground up to some stuff I had to learn myself, like office work, which is not my strong point, but I had to learn that. But I get to engage with my guides, I get to engage with my camping assistants, I get to engage with my tour consultants. Day-to-day, I also go out foreign countries, like the US is our biggest market, so every year I go. I'm actually training now two of my staff to take over for me the marketing department, because I've been going every year, attending five different markets in USA, in Germany, in Indaba, in Durban, and in Cape Town WTM. So I want to see them grow, to take over the marketing department from me. Yeah.
Can you describe, as a small and medium enterprise, what has been the one thing that's kept you going through the tough times?
I think what happened is I love what I'm doing. So I always tell people, don't just do something for money.
Yeah.
You must love what you're doing. For me, I'm lucky that it was my dream since I was small. And to be honest with you, I always said, when my business becomes one day big, I want to have a first Land Cruiser. Today I have 20 Land Cruisers. So I always say, do what you love, and then everything will just fall in place.
So it's not like, it's not work to you, it's what you love.
It's what I love. I love working with people. Wherever you go in this industry, in everywhere, you find people in Damaraland, in Kavango region. I have friends everywhere. And it's just because I love what I'm doing. I like working with people and connecting people.
What's that one unexpected thing that you discovered once you started the business? The one small thing that, like, someone who's thinking of doing something in entrepreneurship or building their own business wouldn't know?
The first thing is I always say, do your research. Do your research, because research is very important. If you don't do your research, you might end up doing, because there's going to be challenges. For the first 5 years of any business, actually, you're going to have challenges. So just do your research properly, and to make sure that you have a successful business. If you don't do your research, I always say, do your research. If you don't do your research, you will not end up where a lot of companies have ended up.
Okay, just two last questions, I promise. Firstly, how does it feel to know that you stood in a room full of your peers, all your industry peers, and so other small and medium enterprise businesses, and your business became and came out on top?
To be honest, I did not expect this. I knew that I was a finalist, but I did not expect this, because this is my first award ever.
Yeah.
And for me, it's very big. It means a lot to me, my business. So for me, it was something overwhelming. Still, I can't believe it. I will maybe not sleep tonight.
Of course. Finally, what message do you have for someone who wants to start their business, who's thinking or who has dreams of starting something, but they don't know how? Where would you direct them to? What would you advise them to do?
Guys, I will say, you can do anything. It's just you need to know, you need to have a good plan. Like for me, example, I had a good plan and I was working in industry. So I knew exactly what I was getting me into. But there was challenges when it came to finance and everything and stuff like that. But you will eventually overcome that if you are on the right path, and if you are positive enough and you want to reach a goal, then you will overcome all obstacles. So I would just say, guys, whatever you start small and then you work your way up. I still have a lot of plans for the future.
No, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this interview. Congratulations. I wish you, Blue Crane, all the best.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a lovely night.
All right, you too.
Thanks.
All right.
And there you had Sean interviewing the founder of Blue Crane Safaris Namibia, Sisi. Now let's listen to another interview at the Development Bank of Namibia's Innovation Awards, Good Business and Innovation Award.
Sean Jordan Usep here with an interview. Okay, please do introduce yourself, ma'am.
I'm Augusta Fabian, Manager Marketing Branding at the DBM.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. So firstly, how in your opinion has the Innovation Awards impacted its winners?
Well, the Innovation Awards really, it changes lives. You know, our innovators are typically your young entrepreneurs that have these great ideas but do not necessarily have the means or the cash injection to keep it afloat or to get it started. So the Innovation Awards really give them a chance, because it gives them the cash injection they need, and it also gives them the recognition they need, because it actually gets to connect them. Can we start over? Sorry, man.
Okay. No, don't stress. Okay, starting over.
Okay.
How, in your opinion, has the Innovation Award impacted its winners?
Well, it changes lives. first and foremost. You know, our innovators are typically your young entrepreneurs that have great ideas that can turn into flourishing businesses but do not have the means. So the awards actually give them the cash injection that they need, and it also gives them the recognition for them to network and actually get a collaboration opportunities for them to grow into the potential that they actually have.
All right. Thank you so much. Any plans for the future of the award?
Definitely. I mean, even if it has been on the hiatus for the past 5 years, the awards are back and they will be back again next year, even bigger and better. I mean, the award for this year was 400,000 for the Innovation Awards winner. However, next year, who knows? It might be even bigger, better. Let's wait and see.
You heard it here first. What are some of your favorite innovations?
So tonight, the winners are just very invested in building and developing Namibia, and I think they all have such great potential. I cannot even pick one. I mean, there's such a variety of innovators, from green energy to infrastructure to food production. They are all such great innovations with great potential. Although there's only one winner, I believe they are all winners.
Okay, and just for interest sake, or for record sake, you are aware that this is being recorded, and you have consented to this being recorded and aired, right?
Yes, I am aware and I consent.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
It will. You're my fourth interview. It's done now.
And there you had it from those giving their feedbacks in regards to the Development Bank awards of Good Business and Innovation Awards. We sure hope that this sends some encouragement to entrepreneurs out there who have perhaps have a small or medium enterprises, and perhaps you been feeling discouraged a bit whether anyone is even noticing your work. Well, you know what? When the time is right, your work will be recognized, and you never know, somebody might actually be eyeing you already. So keep up at those good innovations that are going to propel Namibia into a great economy, and you're going to make a contribution to this land of the brave. And who knows, perhaps we will be reading about you on news on how many employments you have created or your business has created. So keep up at it, and you just never know where it will take you. Now you're tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin. You can also partake in the news bulletin by dialing the studio number on 083-288-401. For now, we take a trip to the marketplace and we'll be back with yet more news. Stay tuned.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. The Namibia Statistics Agency of the 2025-2026 Namibia Household Income and Expenditure Survey, their CEO, Alex Shimwafeni, was interviewed at the Government Information Sharing Center on the significance of this report, and he noted that this survey collected data on income level and spending pattern of households across the country. Now, the data is then used to measure the poverty level, assess the living standards of people in the country, as well as give information for evidence-based policy making and national development plans that aim to improve the well-being of all Namibians. Let's take a listen to Alex Shimwafeni.
Namibia Household Income and Expenditure Survey, it's a survey that collects data on the income levels, the spending patterns of the households across the country. And the data is actually used to measure the poverty levels, assess the living standards in the country, and also give information for evidence-based policy making and national development plans that are aimed to improve the well-being of all Namibians. Now, this survey is also the only household survey that provides information, like I said earlier, for poverty indicators and poverty profiles. Mm-hmm. It provides information on income distribution, income differentials, income inequality, what we talk about, the Gini coefficients. Mm-hmm. Also on the household consumption, as well as on the expenditure patterns of the households. As by the nature of the project or the study, mm-hmm. it's a survey. Mm-hmm. So meaning it's a sample that will be selected.
Okay.
And only certain households that were randomly selected will be interviewed. Yeah, it's a sample and it started on the 28th of April this year, in 2025. Mm-hmm. And it will go all along until 22 of April, 2026.
Okay.
It's a 12-month survey, wow. 1-year cycle,
okay.
which is very important because we need to capture all the seasonal patterns or what we call the yearly seasons
mm-hmm.
in all the regions.
Okay.
Yes, and then to go to the process, how the survey will be conducted.
Mm-hmm.
For the households that were selected, meaning that the people will go there to do a face-to-face interview.
Okay.
They will ask questions, and then afterwards they will leave a daily record book, what we call the DRB,
okay.
where people have to complete their spending patterns
mm-hmm.
for the 14 days. Some people thought it was a burden. But I'm saying that sometimes you have money in your wallet
mm-hmm.
and after a week or so you wonder what happened to the money.
Mm,
what did you spend it on? So this is something that helps you even to go in the future. You can go into the habit of also recording what is it you are spending.
Okay.
So they will get that daily record book. Then they will have to record transactions such as food, beverages,
mm-hmm.
tobacco and other items that they spend on during that period. Yes, because of the nature of the survey, mm-hmm. which is on the household income and expenditure survey, so we look at what it says on income matters, expenditure matters. But to be more specific, we're also going to look at the labor, employment, work and wages and salaries.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to look at food security, health matters. We're also going to look at assets in terms of what the household occupies or rather it's spending on. For mm-hmm. example, asset as in a vehicle, how much is it to spend on that? A household as an asset also, how much is it that you're spending also on that one?
Okay.
We need to look at the income by individual members of the household
mm-hmm.
As well. That will determine also the wealth of the households and other financial assets that we are talking about. And then we are also going to look at the anthropometric measurements for children under 5, which is basically the measurement of the bodies.
Okay.
Looking at things like whether there are nutritional mm-hmm. stunting issues and mm-hmm. so on.
Okay.
And then obviously the expenditure and the consumption on food, beverages, tobacco items. Now, on the consumption, expenditure is one thing,
mm-hmm.
What you buy in terms of food, but the consumption is another.
Right.
Because you can buy a loaf of bread,
mm-hmm.
but you consume maybe 2 slices of the bread. So those type of measurements will be there in terms of cooking oil. What are the measurements? How much of the cooking oil will the people use?
Mm-hmm.
So, the consumption part is a very important part of the survey as well.
Okay.
Be straightforward. The participation, once you are selected, it is mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a law, actually, that mm-hmm. you need to participate in this survey when you are selected. And we have learned from the census also, from the census, yes, that those people who are refusing, we try to explain to them really what this is all about. And you need to play your part and participate. Mm-hmm. The confidentiality of the information is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And the law is very clear from the Statistics Act, Act number 9 of 2011, that when you are requested to participate in this statistical collection, you need to bring your part. Should you make yourself guilty of that, there are punitive measures that are in place, which is a fine of 50,000 mm-hmm. To be fined to you, or imprisonment of up to 5 years, or both. And we don't want to go there.
Absolutely not.
And what I'm saying is that when we collect this data, I'm always saying that we don't collect the data for ourselves. We mm-hmm. collect the data for proper planning.
Yes.
And I'm also saying that some of the people who might not want to participate are people who can also make use of this data, either in their businesses mm-hmm. that they are doing or in their daily lives. So, and we have been doing this now since the inception of the NSA, even before the inception of the NSA, when it was still the Central Bureau of Statistics. Mm-hmm. What the people need to do is to participate. I might say that we did not really have any major challenges. Mm-hmm. We had maybe here and then a few people trying to ask what the survey is all about. Mm-hmm. We had to explain to them with all the documentations that we had. Mm-hmm. And then we moved on.
Okay.
So, and with that, I want to thank the Namibian nation, really, those who were participating, and also to thank those in advance that are going to be participating, to thank them for their participation, because this information is needed.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Namibia is the second highest unequal country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see whether are we still on that stage,
mm-hmm.
or have we improved on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the survey is going to tell us. With regard to when to expect the results, we are looking towards the end of the next financial year, which is then we talk about the survey will end of April next year.
Mm-hmm.
So towards the end, that's when we can look at the results, or the initial results, or the preliminary results.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is that when the survey ends, normally there might be a need to go back to the information
right. That
is given.
Mm-hmm.
And now the challenge with this survey also, unlike the census where we could get the information sent through to the server already,
mm-hmm.
the challenge here is that some of the information are still in hard copies,
right. The
daily record books.
Mm-hmm.
That data need to be entered as well,
mm-hmm.
and it will take some time. And then when you enter the data, you also need to do verifications, spot checks, and check
mm-hmm.
whether it was collected correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the data processing, cleaning up, and then also now the data analysis. So we're looking at earliest towards the end of next year. If we say, for example, that people spend most of their money or their hard-earned income on, let's say, housing,
mm-hmm.
then government should really look at policy and say, what can be done? Is the issue where, then we can also go back to the cost drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Is the issue of material, building material, that may be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a time we used to import a lot of this building materials from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So should we do something else to improve those industries? We had an announcement at the State of the Nation address mm-hmm. by Excellency the President,
mm-hmm.
President Nani Ndaitwah, in terms of free education that is coming
mm-hmm.
Next year. So it will also be good to see how much relief will it be for
mm-hmm.
people
yeah.
in terms
yeah.
of spending when they're spending on their education.
Okay.
So this is what really the survey is all about.
Okay.
Let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace, but we also invite you to partake in the news bulletin right here on the reader. Studio number is 083-288-401.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now for some sports-related news. The Kumasi School Sports Region, is also known as KSSR, is under fire following its a blunt decision to suspend all school sporting activities for nearly 2 months, a move critics have described as unilateral, unplanned, and ill-considered. In an official statement released by KSSR chairperson Terence Ndisiro, the region announced that all sporting codes will be halted from Tuesday, 20th May 2025, until the start of the next school term. The stated aim of the suspension is to allow learners to focus on internal and external examinations. And I quote, as schools begin with internal and external examinations, the KSSR thereby informs all sporting codes that all sport activities must be suspended with effect from tomorrow, 20th May 2025, until the beginning of the next term, which this break is intended to allow all learners to focus fully on their studies and examinations, read the statement. However, the decision has sparked criticism among school sports administrators and stakeholders, many of whom were caught off guard by the announcement. The suspension comes while several national school leagues are currently ongoing, involving a wide network of learners, coaches, and local sports bodies. According to the 2025 government school calendar, learners are scheduled to return to the second semester on 14th January, meaning the suspension will span nearly 2 full months. Stakeholders are now expected to convene and consider an appropriate response as concerns grow over the disruption of scheduled matches and potential consequences for teams preparing for regional and national tournaments. Eagle FM sports journalist Hende caught up with Terence Ndisiro on this. Let's hear his comment on this matter.
Okay, we are now joined on the line by the chairman of the Kumasi School Sports Region, Mr. Terence Ndisiro. Mr. Terence, thank you very much for making time for us today.
Thank you very much for putting me on the line today.
So let's get right into it. This morning it was announced or revealed that the schools in the Kumasi region will stop sports for the examination period. There's been a lot of conversation around this. Many people are not happy and so on, but we would like you to give you the opportunity to say your part as the chairman of the KSSR.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you very much for allowing me this platform to air my view on the state communication that was awarded to different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Initially, KSSR as an NSSU Commerce region, how do we communicate or how do we operate? That's something that we need to take in account.
Okay.
We are here to level the playground for a Namibian child in Kumasi region.
Yes.
And we are operating from the Act of Parliament whereby this, the establishment of NSSU
mm-hmm.
in a different regional setup. So part of what we actually do in KSSR is that we are operating from the school side. So before we do any communication, we consult the principals.
Okay.
of the different schools. So the principals do have a platform where primary school principals come together and high school principals come together and air anything concerning the development of schools in Comas region.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, we sent a, one of our my deputy chairperson is the principal of John Moore, who is also the chairman of the high school principal.
Okay.
We asked the principals because the complaint was coming forward. Complaints were coming out. I was receiving calls from the principals. Mr. Desiro, why are you allowing kids to continue with sport while the people are entering in examination? I asked my deputy chairman, who's sitting in the board of that platform, to ask the view of the principals, what do they feel about this specific time or the specific period. I did advise this with the primary school principals.
Okay.
Whereby all the principals agreed that, no, Mr. Desiro, for this time being, can you please accord us the time to close the sport activity so that we can allow our learners to focus fully on the exams.
Mm-hmm.
Me as a regional chairperson, I have what we call conveners, sport conveners of different courts. The sport convener of the different courts, I did individually call to them and ask my conveners, as it's, we're approaching that time of the year again, that we're approaching the exams and my principals are knocking at my door here. What do you think that, how far are you with your activities? Those sport codes that I am fully aware, soccer, primary and secondary, netball, primary, that I am fully aware that they are engaging with me, and volleyball, that are engaging with me. I call them because I only know them. The other conveners, sub conveners, I do not have information of how they are operating here in Comas region. I've been keep on calling to, I at the beginning of this year, I called what we call KSSR Regional Council meeting, whereby we needed to sit together so that we can iron this issue. How do they conduct their program? Until today, it was to my surprise that I see rugby is still in existence, secondary school.
Okay.
I came to know about Super League, although I did check in the calendar, but I did not mind too much because they are operating here from Windhoek. But they don't see our office. They don't see us. So I did not know about them.
Let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back to continue with this news item. Stay with us.
Onkundana ombanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa menderelo. Ndele ouna oshenditho. Ouna anilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina onjodoe otaende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otayi nyengana. Otokesh otayi ningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto oye, etopewa epresendo wa milongo le natano, dongushu yoshiendito shoye. Mure ashike, uwe mtetilo milongo le natano. Inopungwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayombanga. Ohauto yoye ashike. Mona omula, oshimaruwa, etimbo weshipumba.
Easy money.
Tudengera nena, ko, nora hamano ime, ne nora nora, hamano, heari hamano. Ano, ko, nora hamano ime, ne nora nora, hamano, heari hamano. Oshipulera, ko, otokesh.
And now that conversation with Terence Desiro.
To my surprise,
okay.
I'm getting phone calls, letters.
Okay, Mr. Desiro, before you continue now, as the chairman of the KSSR, basically the head of school sports in the Comas region, essentially, how is it possible that, as you're explaining now, how is it possible that they are stakeholders of which you are not in communication with? How does that work?
Really, it's just a show of that people don't recognize this office. What word can I say beside that?
Mm-hmm.
I've been calling and said, and it is so surprisingly that the same way I'm communicating, the same way I communicated this letter to the schools, the same way I communicate letters to the different WhatsApp groups, it's the same way I did.
Okay.
But to my surprise, it came that they are fully aware of my existence, which is KSSR. They are fully aware of my mandate of KSSR.
Mm-hmm.
But they have decided to ignore. I don't know why they are operating in shadows of not recognizing this office. But today, they have come out of their closet. And we did not say that we are closing all, per se, all the activities. Netball Primary School, they called to me, the convener, asked me, Mr. Disiro, we are still busy with some trials and some activity that we planned this week. How do we go about? We talked and we agreed that, no, you guys, your program, because I'm fully aware of it, continue with that program. We may allow. And all the teachers and all the schools that platform agreed upon it, that no, for primary school, they will continue until this week, until they finish. Then they will continue again.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey also, and rugby primary, they called to me. We agreed. I said, you guys, if I knew about your program, if I knew your telephone numbers, this could not have escalated to such a level.
Okay.
But you know our office, and you know me, because I'm always communicating with them 24 hours. Through athletic, they know who's the regional chairperson. How do they go about?
Mm-hmm.
But they bypass this.
So, following the, per se, let's say the instructions of the regional office is not a legal requirement for these different bodies. They're allowed to bypass instructions from the office. Is that a correct assessment?
No, legal wise, we are school sports
mm-hmm.
organization in Commerce Region. All the different sports codes supposed to operate under our office.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes to my attention that they do not see this, they do not value this office at all.
Yeah, no, the reason I'm asking that question is because if what you're saying is true, then are there consequences in place for a school or a certain sport code not following the instructions of the regional office? That's the reason I asked that question.
No. Legal-wise, we do not have a provision that we can punish any school, any code or any sport code that is operating in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
If you can really see that the people that are behind all these queries that are is the people that are, or the courts that are having muscles,
mm-hmm.
Financial muscles, because their complaint is about that they have been sponsored by the corporate, Super League is sponsored by Capricorn,
yeah.
That I had, and Rugby called me, secondary school called to me, they said their sponsorship will lapse and so on. I said, while you guys are receiving your sponsorship and so on, when you are going for that event, you are not even informing the real custodian of the sports
mm-hmm.
in the region. How do you do it?
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So, we'll get to the issue of the corporates, in just a moment. But you said earlier that this decision was made in conjunction with other principals that came to you and said, no, our learners need to focus on exams and so on. Now, speaking from experience, I didn't leave school that long ago. Yeah, cause I remember when I was in school, we continued with sports even, during the exam time. So my question is this the first time this is happening? And if so, is it not part of the education for a child to learn how to balance their, after school activities with their academics? Is that not part of molding them into It's a skill to learn, essentially, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a good question, but you must put things in perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
When we are talking now, let's look into the main issue that is at hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start with the school like Delta. They called to me a few weeks ago. They telephonically called to me, Mr. Disiro, our learners are in exams. They need to start. But what is at play here is regional trials that are here at play. Now, it's not a normal league that is at play here. Now, they need to select a regional team that is going to represent the region. For a learner to balance in between, now it's very difficult because here the learner is now being pressurized to study by the school, by the parents. Now, if this specific athlete or learner does not pitch up, are we not disadvantaging this innocent learner?
Mm-hmm.
And if, and not under correction, but as I found out now, the private schools are currently on holidays.
Okay.
Which they are not automatically, they are not affected to it, with these exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, they feel like now is their chances for the learners to participate in this sport activity for the trials. But not minding the government school learners. Now, we need to protect them. And it came to my attention now again. The National Netball Court have decided that their trials are going to be held during this holiday. Now, ask yourself, a learner that is staying in a student hostel, the learner that is staying in a LWC hostel, once the school closes, where is this learner going?
Yeah.
Basically, the parents will take that learner back to the village where they come from. Who is going to, how are they going to be represented in the trial that is going to be represent the region?
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the day, you see the way the whole architectural setup of the trials is set into one favor of a specific group, whereby some group are ignored. And this is not talent identification. This is not leveling and bringing or creating a chance to all Comas region athletes.
Mm-hmm. So the private schools and public schools in Comas, they don't go on holiday at the same time?
No. The calendars are vast different.
Ah, okay.
And government schools, we tend to allocate our calendar like soccer and let me say soccer and volleyball that we are so the coach that I know that I'm fully involved that are involving me. We tend to set up our activity based on our calendar based on the government school.
Okay. So my last question is now about the corporate sponsors that we spoke about earlier. You know, we've engaged on Eagle FM before on the Eagle Sports Zone, and a big topic there was, you know, the lack of funding that various sports codes in the country, or in the region rather, are experiencing. So now that we are hearing about, you know, the corporate sponsors of the Netball League and so on, they are raising their concerns, saying that we've already spent X amount of money suspending the sports for this time period would result in various financial losses and so on. So now, as the chairman of the region, what is your view on this friction between the regional office and potential corporate sponsors?
Really, I'm here for sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to my surprise that the corporate tend to choose who to sponsor. And if I can put it on record, they tend to sponsor who they believe in. Because when we talk about the Super League, SIFI, investigated a little bit because I came this year in the office, it seems that it's anti-athletic, Netball Namibia. So it's under the federation that is also giving them, boosting their activities. And it also, it looks the same way at rugby. It seems that under the federations. So at the end of the day, here we are talking about also, the federation, where do they end and where do they stop?
Mm-hmm.
And where do the school sports union start and end. Mm-hmm. If we talk about a regional team or national team, under 13, under 15, under 17, who is this custodian of those teams? Who is supposed to be there? Is it the federation? And if it's the federation, what about these kids are school-going learners? What about the teachers that have identified this, have coached these specific learners with their small skill that they are having, mm-hmm. until they brought them to that level to be recognized at a national level? But at the end of the day, then sit out of the blue, the federation will come and take it ownership of it. So this question also goes back to the sport commission. Why are they sitting idle and looking into this? And this is creating a friction, because rugby will not see me because they know we don't have money. Even when they are penetrating through the sport, through the schools, I will not have a say because money talks. They have big chunk of money that they can say, no, don't even mind about Mr. So don't mind about NSSU. We are going to do what we are going to do. Don't mind. Because these conveners, they all along, they knew about us, but they have set and decided not to see us. And today, now they see the value and the power. And I was also called here. Under which provision, legal provision that are giving the autonomy to make that decision? So that's a very, same question I will ask. What provision prohibit me not to do that? If I'm here to protect the interests of the learners, the interests of the schools.
Yeah.
Because I'm an advocate of the learners. I'm the advocate of the principals in that terms. And as long as I've spoken with the principals, and the principal has given me green light, and I'm at the ground level, I see the suffering of the learners, and I'm here to protect their interests. We are in the exams. That's a thing that we know.
Yeah.
But you ask a good question. How do we balance that? There is a way if we can come at the table and we sit. You bring their calendar, we bring the school calendar, and we sit at the table and we can iron all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because, for example, if we look now at the netball league now in particular, if we focus on that one, the sponsor, from what we understand, it involves 17 public schools and 13 private schools. So actually more public schools than private ones, around the country, not just, commerce now. So in a situation like that, that's why I asked, is this the first time this is happening where we are stopping sports for exams? Because this league has been going on for, I believe, 6-7 years now.
Yeah, they said almost for 11 years this league was going on.
Yeah, so but now for 11 years, yeah. If we've been playing during exams, what's different now this year?
The difference is this, because I'm wondering the people that were in office,
mm-hmm.
the people that were in office, I was now wondering the people that are in office, how did they allow this type of practice? Because when we are talking here, we are talking in a sense of that. How do they allow kids to come and play? Are they really scouting the correct learners in the whole country? Because these learners need to come for trials. Where do they come from? In the holiday, they need to go back to their home. Like in commerce region. Are we really allowing or giving all the learners the equal chances? Because this is not a division that we don't equally divide to.
Mm-hmm.
They are not equally represented. So, if they have done in the past, was it correct? That's where we must reflect now, Ben. Those people that were in the leadership, were they doing the things correctly? Or must we just fly by what they were doing?
Mm.
That's a question that we need to reflect on. We cannot just allow things to continue as usual. We need to start changing the things accordingly. If we say we are here to lead, let us represent the interest of the learners and make sure that sports really take place. And all commerce learners are given the privilege to be part of the national team or the regional teams.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Ndisiro, is there any... Okay, actually, before I ask you if there's any last words you have, you spoke about the sports commission and so on needs to be involved in this whole debate, so to say. At present, Has there been any engagement with the Sports Commission, between the Sports Commission and the regional office and the NFSU as well?
Yeah, the complexity of this is actually when I'm trying to contact, even if I need to contact the Sport Commission office,
mm-hmm.
they will still send me back and say I need to go through the office of our NSSU office. But this engagement, I personally, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to engage the Sport Commission, but the hierarchy also, it's a lot of sport bureaucracy that is too much there that need to be removed.
So a lot of red tape, you're saying?
Yeah, a lot.
Mm.
If you want to go to the office, you will be asked, who give you the mandate?
Mm.
Who give you the power? You see, they are playing, sometimes they will use the book. They like to use the book when it's in our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, Mr. Nisira, is there any last words you'd like to give the listeners before I let you go this afternoon?
Yeah, no, this exercise really, it has opened great doorways, and also it has helped me also to know about the different convener in my region that I never knew about.
Mm-hmm.
We are always open for engagement. We are not here going to deny an Namibian child or a commerce child not to participate in sport.
Mm.
But why don't they come to the table? They know how to contact me the same way they started to write letters to me. The same way they started to call me. All along they have my number.
Yeah.
How come they did not do that even just to bring their activity to say, Mr. Chairperson, here's our activity of the year. Why? So we are still open. We will not stop anything. We don't have even that such a big power, but we just said for the commerce region, for the sake of the Namibian child also, because the balance is not there. So although it was happening in the past, we cannot say we could continue the same way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Nisira.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, to speak further on this about the KSSR Chairperson Terence Ndisiro announcing that all sports codes will be halted from Tuesday, that is today, 20th May 2025, until the next school term, is Eagle FM journalist, sports journalist, Hende. Hende, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Gigi, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. I want to understand why a lot of sports codes are very upset with this decision, considering that children are really going to be busy with their internal and external examination, can't they?
Yeah, so the other side of what Mr. Ndisiro has said there is that there's a lot of planning, logistics, and money that has gone into some of the sports that are being halted now.
Okay.
And so the issue is what these sports codes are communicating is that this communication to stop the sports is coming abruptly after all of this has been put in motion.
Yeah.
So what the other side is saying basically is that had this been communicated perhaps at the beginning of the year, then alternatives could have been found in terms of, you know, when league matches are going to take place, when certain competitions and so on are going to take place. That's why there's this whole uproar about the situation.
Yeah.
And then, but also now what he said there in the interview we just listened to is that there hasn't been engagement between various stakeholders in the commerce region, which is obviously, as we are seeing, very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So let me get this straight. Is it that perhaps children will be engaging in sports activities day in, day out, or throughout the week? Or is it just something that happens maybe over weekends or once in
a
while?
Yeah, so school sports, depending now on your sport, let's use football now, for example.
Yeah.
Usually you train twice a week, let's say on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Your games are also usually in the week, or sometimes on the weekend if it's a tournament or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how it was when I was in school. I don't know what the structure looks like now, but it's standard for there to be a few practice sessions in the week after school, and then at the most 2 games in a week. So, yeah, that's the standard, balance, so to say, of a school going kid that's participating in sports. Mm. It's just a extracurricular activity, essentially, yeah. Just like any other.
Yeah. I think I wish we had gotten a voice of, school going children to get their feel on what exactly that they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, stakeholders, make decisions that are, they think is probably best for them. And when they might say, well, we would partake in the sports, or perhaps some might say, no, we would want some time off. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they will be the best to actually give the answer here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for the students, but like I said, it wasn't too long ago that I was in this position myself.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked him that question about, is this the first time or like, yeah, because it's very normal to have sports on while your exams are going on as well.
Mm.
Especially in the middle of the year. End of year is a different thing. Usually your sports are done.
Mm. Yeah.
Your sports are done at the end of year anyways, because those are, you know, the big exams of the year.
Might be also seen as a stress reliever, you know, when exams are going on.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, and it's part of teaching kids a skill of time management. So if you are in an extracurricular activity and you have exams, you are now learning to how to allocate your time to know that, okay, after school, I need to allocate 1 hour, 2 hour, whatever to my studies, because I know at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whenever my match is, I have to allocate my time there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a
matter of balancing.
Yeah, it's a matter of learning how to balance, and it's an interesting conversation overall, I feel.
Okay.
Especially
while you're there, let's take a...
On the real good afternoon.
Good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon, Uncle Gwena.
How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Is the sportman gone?
No, he's still here.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good afternoon, please. I'm just saying how are you. It's not a formal way of doing it.
Yeah.
So, you see now that, those are the things that I was hearing from you last time.
Mm-hmm.
And, we thank God for her to bring up those stories. The main issue, people, the kids, the learners are ready to receive all kind of sports, teaching and whatever.
Yeah.
They are ready. The issue is for us to take the development initiative to the way the people are. Because the people, for example, in the urban areas, one might say, yes, there are some few facilities where children can really learn and do sports, all kinds of sports.
Yeah.
But in many schools, you only find this soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
And the netball net. What is it? Netball something.
Courts. Yes.
And then the rest are out. That is where those who are lucky to have those facilities. But in the rural areas, wherever you go, there are so much open space, which can be converted into facility building. I mean, facilities to help out. And sport is making money. And it also helped the question that came from, is it Juliana? What?
Terrence.
Uh-huh. I mean, you did ask a question about...
Oh, from Juju.
From Juju. So now, what are we doing? And the budget is there, isn't it? It is has to do with creativity. It has to do with all those kind of things. If we can start looking at the infrastructure, because I was listening to one program at one point, that yes, green hydrogen and any activity that you think of, in all the budgetary ministerial budgets, there are activities of green hydrogen.
Mm.
The major one is construction.
Uncle Bwana, but the issue at hand now is whether children should, whether their sports activities should be put on hold while they write exams or not.
Yeah, because of the understanding, And the people think that when there are examinations, sport must stop. And it's actually sport that activates the minds and the reasoning of the children. When they become so under pressure, and you want to release that pressure that might even traumatize and create fear in them, that yes, exam is coming. But if you allow them to do some sports, they will release that pressure, that psychological torturing of exam. You know, the fear, fear brings snares. So if you don't involve them, how do we expect them to have that kind of physical and mental alert?
Okay, we take note.
It doesn't make sense. So let's see how we can, it's just about to, what is it, internal arrangement and arrange, just like the way you go for school, sport doesn't take long. So thank you very much for the opportunity, but it's not an impossible thing to arrange within the schools. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Uncle Bwana, for your contribution.
Hello, madam. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, and so in closing, what would you say, how would they now reach an amicable solution? I think for Terrence, he feels, is it Terrence?
Yeah, Terrence.
Terrence. I think he feels, attacked by the school bodies or by the sports bodies, and they should have gone straight to him to discuss this.
No, I think it's just it's a sign of an overall issue. As we alluded to there, there's no synergy between, you know, whether that's the NSSU, the KSSR, the Sports Commission, the federations and so on. It's kind of like everyone is in their own lane. Like I said, if it was clear from the beginning of the year that, where are we now in May or, whatever this period is that they decided to stop the sports. If this was already made clear in January or even at towards the end of last year to say that this is the calendar that the region has, then everyone would be able to move accordingly. But as he's saying that some of the schools, some of the federations and so on, everyone is doing their own thing and not following the structure put in place by the regional body, which according to him, they should be doing so, but that's not happening. So it's a sign of bigger problems at play.
Okay. Let's hope that the deputy minister can maybe sort that out, bring them together and work together.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it should come to the point where the deputy minister has to step in, but if everyone is working as they should, then this shouldn't be an issue at all. Okay. Truthfully speaking.
Okay. And thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News. Well, listen.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And now we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. We have yet more news coming your way, so stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle
FM. This Africa Day, ShopRite is bringing you the lowest prices to celebrate. Save with great deals on all your local favorites and more, like 2-liter Pepsi, Mirinda, Mountain Dew or 7-Up soft drinks. 3 for only 35 Namibian dollars and 4 kg Real Good Chicken IQF mixed portions for just 178 Namibian dollars 99. Celebrate Africa Day with these massive savings. Valid till 25 May 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders, that is beyond the borders of Namibia. We start off with regional news, then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, we bring you international news. Now we're starting off in South Africa, whereby the wine industry in South Africa wants talks with the US on tariffs.
Wine production is a crucial agricultural industry, providing job opportunities to around 270,000 people in the Western Cape. Initially, US President Donald Trump announced a 30% tariff with AGOA no longer in play. Major orders from the United States were cancelled. Not long after, a 90-day reprieve with tariffs charged at 10% was announced. South African exporters clamored to get their goods to America before the 90 days are up. The American market is the fourth largest for South African wine exports. With major uncertainty, much is at stake in the discussions between President Cyril Ramaphosa and Trump.
We see reports all over that global wine consumption has declined and continues to do so. So the markets are all really in a very tricky position. And it also depends on what happens to our competitor nations. How are they being impacted? A lot of what's going on is very speculative at the moment. We are seeing changes being made literally at the drop of a hat from the US government. And at the moment, we're just having to ride this out and see where we end up. But we do put a lot of hope in our president to have these fortuitous, hopefully, conversations on Wednesday.
The organization says if tariffs remain at 10% for wine exports, it will put South Africa on par with other countries that compete in the American market. However, a tariff of 30% could have a major impact. Establishing and maintaining an export market takes a long time, especially in a country like America that also produces world-renowned wines.
They produce roughly 70% of all the wine that is consumed in the US market. And as we know, Americans are fiercely patriotic. So it is a tricky market to enter. These relationships take a long time to build and establish. And once that is broken, it's very tricky to get back in.
The Western Cape contributes more than half of all agricultural exports from South Africa. AGOA was established to improve economic relations between the United States and economies in sub-Saharan Africa.
I'm of the opinion that I don't think it will be renewed, and we will have to have a plan B. And at this stage, bilateral agreements with the United States is probably the best outcome for us. And then also exploring new markets to ensure that we stay valuable and a contributor to the export market globally.
A political analyst says that while the government's expectation is to reset strategic relationships, there was strain before Trump's return to the White House. There is caution that expectations should be moderated.
What Mr. Ramaphosa recognizes is that he will not get Mr. Trump to roll back on any of the comments that he has already made about South Africa and about what is supposedly happening here. Trying to convince Mr. Trump that he's been the victim of a misinformation campaign will only cause him to dig his heels in and perhaps push back. As we saw with Mr. Zelensky in February, coming armed with the truth is simply not enough.
Wines of South Africa says despite uncertainty, South African producers are resilient, with some of the best wine in the world that will hopefully stand the country in good stead in years to come. Mariska Botha, SABC News, Cape Town.
South Africa unveils master plan to revitalize a rail network.
South Africa has Africa's most extensive rail network, yet over the past few years, it's run into a range of problems. Everything from corruption and vandalism to aging equipment and infrastructure.
Climate change has thrown Uganda's environmental stability into disarray. But beyond the ecological devastation, climate change is exposing deeper societal inequalities. Women and girls, especially in rural Uganda, are paying the highest price.
So they're now being supplemented by the launch of a new master plan aimed at preparing the network for a new era.
We are opening up for private sector operators to transport freight on the transport network, which will remain owned by Transnet. The request for information that I put out in March, that request for information opens up the possibility that the private sector could assist Transnet in investing in infrastructure, both in rail and port.
Transnet is South Africa's state-owned freight transport and logistics company and the custodian of rail, ports and pipelines. French rail giant Alstom, which is in the last phase of delivering 600 locally manufactured modern passenger and freight trains, has welcomed the development.
The rail reform really starts to create an enabling environment for those investments to come into the country. So we are quite excited. We want to move from talking about the vision and talking about what are the key things that will actually enable the execution of the project, so that, you know, by 2063 we realize this vision of being able to move from Cape to Cairo on a high-speed train.
Analysts say the move to allow private players access to Transnet's operated freight rail network could unlock export-led growth. But Transnet will first need to invest billions of dollars to repair and modernize crumbling infrastructure.
We can't do everything ourselves. There is a need to collaborate with private sector, and where private sector can bring funding, where they can bring expertise, where they can bring skills, that it is worthwhile to actually collaborate and work together.
Rail, if it's not working, it creates a lot of bottleneck within the logistics value chain. That's the key thing. And it impacts the economy of the country. So it's pivotal that we get it right from the maintenance perspective, from the infrastructure perspective.
Transnet oversees the freight rail fleet, around a third of which remains crucial for port-linked trade. It's also looking to China and other countries to step up maintenance and manufacturing capabilities.
We've had some engagements with rail entities there, with some telecom suppliers in terms of China. So definitely we're still looking to collaborate, to partner, and to work together with other Chinese entities.
Rail is the backbone of South Africa's freight and transport sector, with experts widely agreeing on the importance of modernizing existing infrastructure and services. With budget cuts looming, this might not be so simple. So the government is turning to external partners to fund its ambitious overhaul and strengthen its position as a logistics hub in the Southern African region. Julie Charis, HTN, South.
Meanwhile, China's projects in Zimbabwe are expected to create 20,000 jobs.
The anchor of our excellent fraternal relations between the two countries dates back before our independence. So that is the anchor of our fraternal relations, which are excellent at the moment. A number of projects have been undertaken by the Chinese in Zimbabwe for the construction of the new parliament building. It's a magnificent building, very, very salubrious in terms of architectural design, and it does capture our cultural heritage as symbolized by our great Zimbabwe ruins, from which we get the name of our country, Zimbabwe. It's now functional, and I've been pleased to be the first speaker to preside over that new parliament, and China were excellent. Outstanding projects and investments include the recent one in the past 3 years. It specializes in steel mining and fabrication. And as it grows, it should have a maximum of not less than 20,000 employees, both at the plant and downstream.
In the context of implementing the outcomes of FOCAC Beijing Summit, as well as advancing high-quality cooperation under the framework of the Belt and Road Initiative, so in what areas do you expect to see the two countries to further deepen their cooperation and collaboration?
President Xi Jinping and our President, Dr. Edi Mnangagwa, have agreed on the five-star ironclad socio-economic development framework, which has upscaled our relationship from strategic cooperation to this higher level. And it is our hope that in the fields of security, economy, political relationship, etc., we are going to be seen to be moving together at that higher plane. It is therefore important that we strengthen our bilateral relations at parliamentary level, because protocols that have been signed and are not ratified by the respective parliaments, they are of no force and effect at all. We are going to establish Zimbabwe-China Parliamentary friendship association, which will buttress the efforts of the executive in establishing excellent bilateral relations between the two republics. You are going to see more and more of parliamentary delegations coming out here specifically to look at various sectors of your economy, as well as studying the political economy of this country.
Meanwhile, Labour Commissioner in Zambia has warned against non-payment of gratuity for contract workers.
They have stormed ZNBC studios, visibly annoyed and saddened by their company. These are some of the former workers of Eden Investments who were allegedly laid off without getting their gratuity. It is alleged that some among them have worked with the company for 3 years and they want government to intervene in the matter.
Na series 3 years, 8 months. Hello, nifuna magajuti yanga wanipase ni fu.
Kuti bomba itudandize tuyangane watupase drama zatu. Kozi parantu imika kunchito.
Siva tupasa drama zatu, tika kambako wa makaripa. So tipempa boma ititandize, tilinavana tina manyumba ama renti, marandro divativuta, so boma titandize niko nitapapata.
Labour Commissioner Givens Muntengwa has directed Eden Investments to immediately pay the workers.
Looking at the law, we then are empowered to ensure that gratuity is paid. And we accordingly have to direct the employer to pay, failure to which by the spirit and letter of the law, failure to comply with the instructions or directives of the Labour Commissioner becomes an offence. So,
Ellen Mwanza is a supervisor at Eden Investments. She is aware of the problem here and assures government that the company will pay the former workers their gratuity by the end of this month.
We are assuring government we are going to follow the labor laws as we normally do. From starting this month end of May, you won't hear our complaint anymore. We are going to settle them.
According to the labor laws, failure to give workers proper contracts attracts a penalty of not less than 80,000 kwacha. Patricia Mapiki, ZNBC News, in Lusaka.
Rwanda unveils top ready-to-mine blocks for investment.
The Natural Resources Regulator has highlighted investment opportunities in the country through a special initiative. The Mining Investment Pitchbook, produced by the Rwanda Mines, Petroleum and Gas Board, highlights several locations with potential for rare minerals extraction. The minerals are said to be crucial for the development of modern technologies and renewable energy. Our correspondent Ethan Tashobia visited one of the listed areas and filed the following report.
Musenyi Mine in Bujesera District, rich in cassiterite and coltan, has been inactive for 5 years following the death of its previous proprietor. During this period, authorities have actively prevented illegal mining activities at the site. Recently, a mine collapse among the 10 newly published mining blocks resulted in fatalities among illegal miners.
We just found this here, an evidence that illegal mining is actually ongoing. And I saw some people, when we arrived in here, we saw some people mining here. And evidence that illegal mining activities are ongoing in this mine here.
Njezebuhoro Jean-Baptiste, a resident of this neighborhood, previously worked here with a former investor and has a deep understanding of the mineral resources beneath the ground.
This site has two mining blocks stretched over 1,000 hectares. It is very rich in coltan and tin. In a week, we could extract about 5 tons of coltan and 7 tons of cassiterite from here. It has a lot of potential if well managed.
Rwanda's mining sector has faced challenges with unauthorized operations, prompting mining authorities to intensify exploration efforts while also enforcing the law against such activities to improve efficiency.
With ongoing exploration,
complementary with historical data, and then with ongoing mining operation, we have been able to demarcate these 10 blocks so that can be able to attract investment. That's how we come up with this 10 block. It's an ongoing process. Very soon we'll continue also getting more block as we do explorations.
Museny mine, spanning over 1,000 hectares, is one of the 10 ready-to-invest mining blocks featured in the latest Rwanda Mining Investment Pitch Book by Rwanda Mining and Petroleum Board. Most of the blocks located in the eastern province contain rare minerals like coltan, tin, tantalum and tungsten. Field visits are planned for the late May and early June, with interest already shown by investors from China and the United States of America.
It's always open for different investors from different countries, but it doesn't limit from the US and China, as we're also getting, we got the interest in the past, so we hope they may come and join the industry.
Rwanda's mineral export revenues rose to over $1.1 billion in 2023, up from $772 million in 2022, according to the Rwanda Mining Board. The inclusion of Museny Mine in the latest investment pitch book of 10 new blocks supports the country's plan to grow mineral export revenues to $2.17 billion by 2029.
By opening up previously inactive mines like this one in Museny for immediate extraction, Rwanda is seeking to attract responsible investors and enhance efficiency in its mining sector. Ethan Tashabia for CGTN, Museny, Bugesera District.
And now this has brought us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Onkonana Dinge program brought to you by David Shombe, and thereafter the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut at 16:30. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye, and I'll see you again tomorrow on the episode of On the Radar, airing from 1300 hours up until 14:30.
Owuli omunangeshefa nowahala kushivitha omayakuro oye kupitira mohorike radio station ayo yo Eagle FM enyamukuro olongaha. Ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondo shoipindi konora hetatu imwe heari imwe ne heari imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth.